Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the other day I ran into someone that I hadn't seen in quite a while, and so we had that same conversation that I'm sure many of you have all the time. It was, how are you? Good. Busy. Right? That's what we always say. It's sort of like that's the acceptable answer. Like it wouldn't be good to say, good, bored, nothing going on. We don't want to say that, right? It's like we're supposed to say that we're busy. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about busyness and hurry in this next sermon series, but I just want to sort of clarify from the start that busy is not always bad, that there is a healthy kind of busy. I mean, Jesus was busy. He had days full of teaching and healing and traveling, but his busyness never pulled him away from his purpose. And so our mission, our purpose here at AMC is to enrich the lives of children and families by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. But sometimes I look up in the midst of my busy life and I wonder, are we all too busy to live, love, and serve like Jesus? And so May is a crazy month, right? I don't know about you, but my calendar is packed with end-of-year banquets and parties and field days and special lunches and parents, teachers, coaches. You all know what I'm talking about, right? May is just one of those really busy months. And so it seemed like the perfect time for us to launch this series. It's called Sick with Hurry. You know, most of us understand that we can be sick with worry or worried sick, but we want you to think about how you can be sick with hurry. And not necessarily physically sick, which is a threat, but spiritually sick. There's this term, hurry sickness, and it was first used in the 50s by Dr. Meyer Friedman. He was a cardiologist, and he noticed a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure among people of a certain personality type, right? People who just sort of maintain a pace of busyness, leading lives in a rushed way. And so today we understand that this hurry sickness is not just associated with physical health, but also can affect our psychological health and our mental well-being, just overall our life. It can impact our relationships with our family and our friends by a lack of quality time. And it can cause us sometimes, I know at least for me, to become sort of irritable or frustrated when we're rushing and we're feel like we're running out of time or we're not getting enough done. So there's a few books that help to shape this series. One of them is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's by John Mark Comer. And I picked this book up several months ago, and I read it because I often feel rushed and hurried and kind of too busy to devote time and energy to the really important things. Sort of that feeling of the tyranny of the urgent, right? That crowds out the things that are really important. And so as I read the book, though, I was really convicted that this was a message that our culture needs to hear. Because what he tries to get us to understand is that this hurry sickness isn't just a physical or a mental problem, but that hurry is a spiritual enemy. Hurry is a spiritual enemy. And we're going to get back into that. But first, I want us to step back in time for a minute before Google calendars and Siri reminders and alarm clocks, before the light bulb, even. Before Thomas Edison's invention, the average person slept, get this, y'all, 11 hours a night. Oh, doesn't that sound amazing? I can barely get 6 or 7. 11 hours sounds so good. Because people rose and they rested with the sun. There followed a natural rhythm. There was sort of a built-in slowness to life, and rest wasn't a reward. It was part of the design. And then came industrialization, and you know, factories don't run on sunshine, they run on time. And clocks became king. And then there was the railroad schedule, and we just got busier and busier until eventually we got these little devices in our pockets that sort of run our lives. Everything was sped up, and time shifted from something that we lived within with all of its natural rhythms to something that we controlled and measured. And here's a little gem, a little fun fact, as I was doing some reading about the way things used to be. In the 1960s, experts actually testified before the U.S. Senate that with all of the advancing technology, all of the time-saving devices that were being invented, that the average American work week would shrink to just 20 hours. They were actually concerned that people would have too much leisure time and that that would be a problem. That didn't happen, right? Technology promised us freedom, but it delivered us into chains of hurry. I'm not even really going to go into the black hole of smartphones and devices and the way that they capture our attention. You know, we used to live in time, and now it's like a currency. We spend time, we save time, we manage time, and it can be exhausting. Jesus warns us against hurry, against anxious striving. In our text today from the Gospel of Matthew, he gives us that warning and invites us to a different way of life. So let's read that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about why hurry is a problem and what we can do about it. So here from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is a pretty well-known passage, and it's often preached with a message about trust or anxiety, about worry. But I feel like it's not just about worry. It's about how that worry fuels that striving, that we don't just always worry quietly. Sometimes we hustle, we hurry, we strive. Verses 32 and 33 say, the pagans run after these things. The Gentiles, the pagans, different translations, but the godless people is what Jesus is saying. Run after these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Jesus isn't offering us a productivity hack. He's inviting us to a whole new way of being, one that flows not from pressure, but from trust, one that flows from peace. So let's go back to this idea that hurry is a spiritual enemy. And again, I want to be clear, I'm not talking about busyness. The birds of the air are busy. They have a lot to do, right? They build their nests, but they're not hurried. Busyness is an external reality. Hurry is an internal state. It's the way we feel as we're going about these things. In another book Crazy Busy by Kevin DeYoung, he points out that a lot of our hurry has to do with trying too hard to get the approval of others, or worried about pleasing people, not letting anybody down, right? Or not failing. We're worried about not reaching that ambition or whatever it is that we're going after. We're worried about falling short. But Jesus reminds us that true success isn't found in other people's approval. It's not found in busyness. It's found in faithfulness. We can be busy and still be present. We can still be joyful and peaceful. But when we're hurried, our love becomes impatient. Joy becomes shallow. And peace becomes impossible. And all of that really matters, because peace and joy and love, these aren't just nice ideas. They're not just feelings that we have. They are the fruit of the Spirit. They are evidence of a life that is lived in step with God. Remember, Scripture talks about walking with God. And walking requires intentionality. It requires steadiness. And it requires relationship. Running can mean rushing past the very one that we are meant to be following. American theologian Dallas Willard actually said, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life of our day." And that might sound a little dramatic, but think about this. You can't love well if you can't listen. You can't experience joy if your mind is already on the next thing. You can't rest in peace if your heart never stops racing, and you can't listen to God while running past Him. For most of us, the greatest danger to our soul isn't that we will renounce our faith outright. It's that we will become so rushed, so distracted, so preoccupied with other things that we will settle for a mediocre version of faith. We will settle for being a nominal Christian rather than a practicing one. Half awake, half alive, half-hearted. So if hurry is a symptom of this deeper spiritual sickness, what's the cure? Well, it's important to realize that hurry isn't a scheduling problem. It's not just about how much stuff is on your calendar. It's a heart problem. The answer isn't just slowing down for the sake of feeling better. It's a recentering of our lives around God. In the past, you've heard both Mike and I preach about putting God first, and about how when we put God first, even before being a parent or being a student or being whatever else it is that we are in our life, that we're better at all those other things if we put God first. And when we talk about putting God first, what we really mean is putting God at the center. Not putting God first on a checklist, but placing God at the center so that everything flows from Him. Making God the source, the reason, the guide for all that we're doing. Remember that Colossians 3:17 says that for whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, hanging out at the soccer field, at work, in traffic, resting, parenting, it's all in the name of Jesus when He is at the center. And so that doesn't mean that we have less to do. It just means we do it differently. We do it with God, for God, through God. It means we do it in a godly way, with love of neighbor. It means we do it fueled by the Holy Spirit. And then that fruit is seen, which means that we're doing it with patience. We're doing it with kindness. We're doing it with generosity, whatever it is. In The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer says, can I have the next slide? We achieve inner peace not by rearranging the circumstances of our lives, but by realizing God's presence in the midst of them. So it's not just about rearranging the stuff that we're doing or rearranging the things on our calendar. It's rearranging our attitude towards them and being aware of God's presence. Living with God at the center is learning to notice Him in every part of life, to bring every part of life into alignment with Him, so that with God at the center, every part of life, no matter what it is that we're doing, can become worship. Just before the passage that we read today in Matthew 6, verse 21, Jesus reminds us that wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And usually when we think of treasure, we think of riches. But what if we reframe it to think of our treasure as our attention? What we constantly pay attention to shapes our hearts. If hurry steals our attention, it steals our devotion. And I know that it's one thing to just say, put God at the center. But what does that actually look like on a Tuesday afternoon when you're running late and you still have five more things that you need to get done that day? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that. We'll be exploring the rhythms that heal the sickness of hurry and bring our souls back to life. Because you were not made for chaos. You were made for Christ. It's about reclaiming that life, that freedom that Jesus died for us to have. Friends, you need to know that you are in a battle. The world is in a battle because hurry is not neutral. It is one of the enemy's sharpest weapons. The enemy would love nothing more than to keep us distracted, keep us restless, worn out, and too busy to notice the voice of God in our life. Pulled in 1,000 directions until we're too tired or too numb, too preoccupied to walk closely with our Savior. C.S. Lewis said it best. The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope. Soft underfoot, without any sudden turns, without milestones, without signposts. We just kind of get lost in it, drawn in. And that's the road of hurry. We don't crash off a cliff. We just drift. Hurry sickness is a spiritual disease, and we are not meant to surrender to it quietly. We are called to fight. We are called to live differently. Because listen, Jesus did not sprint to the cross. He didn't rush his miracles. He walked. He noticed. He loved. He lived at the pace of the Father, and we are called to walk in his footsteps. So this week, when the rush rises and the pressure starts squeezing, I have a little bit of a challenge for you. When you feel that hurry and that overwhelm sneaking in, stop and fight back. Don't let the enemy steal another moment of your life with God. Breathe deeply and pray this prayer. Jesus, today is yours. Help me walk at your pace, not mine. And that's not just self-care. That is soul warfare. That is choosing life over death, choosing presence over distraction. That is choosing Jesus over anything and everything else. So let's fight like it matters, because it does. Because when we walk at his pace, when we live with his peace, that is what allows us to carry his presence into a hurried and a hurting world. Let us pray. God of stillness and peace, we confess that we so often rush past you. Our lives are loud and hurried, and our hearts are distracted. Teach us to slow down. Teach us to listen. Help us to make space for your voice, for your guidance, for your love. As we leave today, may we walk at your pace. May we live in your presence. And God, may we trust that you are always near and that you are not wanting our perfection. You are wanting our attention. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.